wanted to come by. Our hope had been here to be here the other day, but with the ceiling as it was in the clouds that day, our pilots thought it probably wasn't a good idea to fly in where you can't land appropriately, so we came back. But today I've got Reed Hall with me. He is our appointee to be the permanent director of the Wisconsin, permanent chief executive officer, I should say, of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. We're thrilled to make that announcement. He comes with tremendous credentials, having been for a decade the head of the Marshfield Clinic at a time when they grew from about 140 physicians to over 800, tremendous presence here and around the state of Wisconsin. In that role, and nearly 25 years before that as the chief legal counsel for the clinic, played a tremendous leadership role in terms of navigating multiple stakeholders, which in many ways is very similar when you talk about economic development. It's not just the state and various state agencies. It's the regions, it's the chambers, it's the communities, it's the private sector partners. And Reed's done a tremendous job in his role as not only as the head of the Marshfield Clinic, but also in many volunteer capacities in the sense of being on the board of directors of the statewide chamber and its executive committee, thereby having the respect of fellow CEOs from across the state, being involved with the precursor to the public-private partnership that's a part of the WDC with Ford Wisconsin years ago, and being on its board, being a proud graduate of the University of Wisconsin and not only a part of its alumni association but its past president, and being involved even in local activities like the Rotary and others, which he continues to be active in our state's capital as well. All of those things, I think, put Reed in a perfect position to be a great leader for the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, both in terms of his management skills, taking on some of the challenges they've had of late, but of equal, if not greater importance, the fact that he brings the kind of passion and direction and a vision that when I ultimately sat down and asked him if he'd be willing to consider the position, one of his immediate focal points was on saying if we're going to exceed that goal of 250,000 jobs by 2015, it can't be done just through the Wisconsin Corporation. It can't even be done just through local efforts with TIF districts and tax credits and things like that. It's got to be an overall strategy. And one of the things that impressed me the most was he said, and it's really going to have to be a very specific partnership with our regions and our local players when it comes to economic development. And that is exactly the vision that I share. I talked individually with each of the members of the board, both the private sector members and the legislative members in both parties, individually before making this appointment, and overwhelmingly had their support in the board of directors. And so with that, it's my honor to have introduced Reed Hall to the state of Wisconsin as our next CEO.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Governor, for those kind comments. And it's great to be here in Wausau. It's Wausau and central Wisconsin, as well as Rhineland and Minocqua, are just very, very critical parts of the state and very special to me. The only drawback to taking this job is I understand I won't be able to spend as much time in Minocqua at the cottage as I have in the past. But this is a great opportunity for me personally and professionally. And I had 36 years in the private side of business, 34 at the Marshfield Clinic, 2 in the private practice of law. This gives me an opportunity after a short period in retirement to do public service. And I think all of us need to consider that seriously in our careers. Public service is so important. Trying to move the state forward with the job creation, employment opportunities for people that need them and are looking for them and just can't find the right job. So we're going to concentrate in the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation with expanding businesses, nurturing existing businesses, nurturing startup companies, certainly looking for companies to transfer here from out of state. And internationally, the governor's leading his first mission to China in April, and we look forward to having more opportunities with the Chinese and foreign products coming here, foreign jobs coming here, as well as exporting of products that we have and we make here in the state of Wisconsin that the growing populations across the seas need. So, in short, this is just a great opportunity for me. I'm really looking forward to this. Working with the partners that we have here in central Wisconsin, with the Chamber and the Economic Development Corporation, is how we're going to be successful. As we've said several times, we just can't do this solely at 200 West Washington in Madison. It's going to be a combination of Stevens Point, Rapids, Marshfield, Wausau, Rhinelander, all the communities around here and throughout the state to move the state forward. And I'm looking forward to working with you on that. And again, it's really my pleasure and honor to have this opportunity to serve the state of Wisconsin, the governor, and the board of directors in this capacity. So with that, perhaps we can open it up to a couple questions.
Fire away. As you get set up, we'll give you some introductory comments. No, that's right, introductory comments. Go ahead.
One sec.
Sure, we'll wait for a second.
I just need to get my wind down.
In a shirt right there.
Yeah. All right, I'm good, thank you.
All right.
One of the things that's come up in several communities, Stevens Point, I know of, just last night in Wisconsin Rapids, was mentioned of the certified sites program, how important that is to get ready to move into land in industrial parks. Where do you see that program going? Is it growing statewide? Have you got a lot of participants in that program, or are you still looking to publicize that with municipalities and help get them on board?
The governor announced the 10th one yesterday in Chippewa Falls. So just this year, it was a new initiative this year that the governor instituted last spring. And the certified site survey seems to be a really nice new piece of our arsenal to encourage job growth and businesses to locate here. 9 before Christmas this year, the one in Chippewa Falls. We hope to do 30 over the next 2 years. I think we can get there. It's a lot of work for municipalities to do this. There's a little expense on it, but the dividends are very substantial. What we're talking about is Ready, Set, Build program of the governor's, where you're talking about shovel-ready projects. We certify a site as certified, means that we've looked at the labor force. We've looked at the environmentals, we've looked at utilities, we've looked at roadways. The site is ready to build. And I think we put that on our website, advertise it across the nation for site selectors, and the communities benefit from that. So it's a small investment, but I think it can pay great dividends.
Any nibbles so far? Maybe people moving into Wisconsin take advantage of that?
From December to now, not that I know of. But I think once spring unfolds, you're going to see a lot more activity.
The concept, if you look at the rankings I mentioned in the State of the State address, us moving up in the rankings, the best and worst states in terms of business, one of the ones that jumped out, I think, most significantly is Site Selection Magazine ranked us this past year as high as 13. Now, it's a multitude of factors, property taxes, regulations, litigation, climate, workforce, all those things. But programs like this, Ready, Set, Build, just at its infancy, was attracted to them. And I think now that we show, as Reed mentioned, we not just the 10 we have thus far, but over the next 2 years, we add as many as 30 or more sites like that around the state of Wisconsin. I think you're going to see us move up in the rankings. And that helps because those, the people who read and use Site Selection Magazine, are the very people who are out advising real estate developers, investors, and others out there. Those are the people we want, particularly in our business parks and other sites, to say, here's a spot. And in our case, particularly with Reed and his team at the corporation, what they're really doing is having people come into the state of Wisconsin and say, what do you have available? Here's kind of what we're looking for. Us to have a number of different sites where we can say here in north central Wisconsin and the Chippewa Valley and the Fox Valley and other places, here are different options for you. And we know they're certified in Wisconsin, meaning all the things Reed mentioned, that we've got an adequate workforce base for them, that utilities are covered, that the environmental remediation isn't going to be a challenge, that there's local support. All those things allow them to just come right in, and in many cases, almost a turnkey type operation to move their business or investment into an area. I think it's going to pay off tremendously. But it's really at the early stages right now.
My name is Anzia Hottapa, right now I'm going on to Wisconsin. And last week's hearings, what were your thoughts on those and how progress, you know, what do you think is going to happen in the future with that?
I think it's good. I think obviously there was a lot of talk last year and again now this year on that. I'm still hopeful that by this spring, as I mentioned, the state of the state, my hope is that we can have a piece of legislation that streamlines the process for safe and environmentally sound mining going forward. I think in the end, you're probably going to see a number of changes, both in the committee and by the time it passes both the State Assembly and the State Senate. And I think you'll probably have a bill that gets both Democrat and Republican votes in the final version. We can balance clean air, clean land, clean water, and still allow us to go forward with something that ultimately, over the next several years, will lead to as many as 3,000 construction-related jobs and approximately 2,800 permanent jobs, not just in Iron County and a little bit it bleeds into Ashland County, but all across the state.
Well, the UEDC has had some accountability issues lately. Where do you see the changes coming, and what steps do you see on the watch?
Yeah, we'll have Reed talk about some of the specifics of that.
We're very fortunate to have the roadmap written for us, painted for us by the consultations we've obtained from the Wisconsin Bankers Association and from Schenck, an independent audit firm. We need to tighten up our loan administration. I think there's no question about that. We're doing three things to do that. And great progress has been made, and further progress will be made in the near future. Currently, we're recruiting for a new chief financial officer. Next week, we'll be posting a new job in our organization, senior credit officer. Just like a bank has a senior credit officer, we're going to look a lot more like a bank. Now, we won't have the same filters as a bank. Banks experience 1% failure rate of their loans. They can't go higher than that. Our job, our mission, is creating jobs, so we're going to have more failures, more startups, companies that can't get bank loans. But in return, we have job creation, and we hope that they're all successful. So chief financial officer, the senior credit officer, watching our loan portfolio much more carefully. Thirdly, we're sending out an RFP in the near future for a new computer system. And again, we're working with the Bankers Association on that. We don't need exactly a banking operation computer system, but something that looks like that. We do grants, we do tax credits, we do all these other bond projects, a lot of things that banks don't necessarily do in their loan portfolio. So that combination will have a specialized computer system that can track loans. And our theory is certainly you put the information incorrectly in the first place, you can bring it out a lot faster for all the reports that we have to have. And it's going to be much easier for our staff to file loans. But we're going to upgrade our loan officer function, not only with the vice president level, but we'll be adding some other loan officers too. And one more thing, we're adding a credit committee, and we'll be adding some bankers to that and some members of our board of directors to that.
So better screening process up front as well.
And yes, screening and administration. But again, our mission is a little broader than banks. Banks love to create jobs and bring new companies in. We can offer success and assistance to some companies that can't get a bank loan. And in return, we expect job creation.
And the key on that is the positive we look at of this is by becoming a corporation, this entity is open to far more scrutiny than a typical state agency would be. I mean, the old Department of Commerce in the past didn't have the audits or reviews that this corporation does right now. Now, clearly, there were some staffing questions about tracking of loans, although they were loans made not by this corporation but made by the previous Department of Commerce. So these aren't loans they made. They're loans that they were charged with following after they were made in the past. But this allows them not just to make sure they're able to track and recoup loans in the future, but also to learn from loans that were made previously to figure out, you know, is this the right path. Now, as Reed alluded to, there are some loans that were made under the old Department of Commerce that a bank probably would make. I'm not here today to criticize those, even though it was done in the prior administration, because in some cases, not a couple counties removed from here, not too far away, there were some examples of companies that were 300-400 employees in counties where they would have been one of the largest employers. Had those companies gone out of business, it would have been devastating, not just to those employees, but to those communities. And so the old Department of Commerce probably made those loans less about return or a probable risk than they did about just the necessity to keep those jobs in place. What we need to do going forward is not only do a better job of tracking and have the transparency of following those loans, but making some decisions about where that balance is, not just about risk factors, but also about if you measure risk versus job retention, sometimes job retention is going to be a higher priority for a given community or region in the state. So all those are things we're learning. The good part about it, and I think where Reed really brings some tremendous leadership to the table, is he's had experience in managing an organization with multiple stakeholders, with an active board of directors, and that's exactly what we expect here. And the positive is long-term, the public will have an agency that's more transparent and more accountable to the public than anything was under a separate state agency before. I think that's good in the long run, because then they can hold not only the WDC staff and board, but ultimately me and the legislature accountable for what actions they take. Sure.
We spoke a couple weeks ago about the current situation of Wausau Plan. Now that we have new leadership, what are the plans moving forward, and how are we going to take jobs in the area?
Yeah, we've reached out. In fact, I'm going to be having a follow-up discussion next week with leadership, Wausau paper, about that very topic. We don't have a specific announcement today on that, other than we've reached out. We'll continue to track that. It's obviously very important to North Central Wisconsin. It's important to the state as a whole. And I think, you know, we can make a compelling case. We understand that there are factors that go far beyond just this region of the state to the industry as a whole, not only here but in America. And so we want to be cognizant of that. But we're going to do everything in our power to make sure that that's a strong base here in North Central Wisconsin. It's not only through the Economic Development Corporation, but through the Department of Workforce Development and other state agencies that we can play an active role in that. And we're going to work with our partners here with Synergy, with our local chambers and economic development efforts as well. So this is an ongoing process. But again, next, I don't remember which day it is, Monday or Tuesday, I think next week I have a follow-up meeting in that regard. I think I have a phone call initially, and I don't know where the physical meeting's after that.
The legislature is taking on a daunting task going through the administrative field. And I'm sure a lot of that is to try to make it easier for business to function and see if the admin code actually follows the intent of the legislature and statutes. Is the WDC going to have some input to that process?
As I understand, and obviously the speaker and other legislative leaders would have to fill in more of the details, but as I understand in our discussions with the legislative leaders, is their intent is committee by committee to go through that, and then in the corresponding legislative committees to have representatives of those state agencies come before the committee and talk about portions of administrative code that apply to those committees. So our administration will be ready. WDC and others will be a part of that process. One of the things I hope they particularly take a look at goes beyond just, piece by piece, is in the data I gave the State of the State address, I presented a report that we're having drafted as legislation in different pieces, where we did a review, almost a year-long review, interviewing, surveying small businesses across the state about the very same issue, about administrative rules and other rules and regulations that maybe were cumbersome or outdated or antiquated. And we proposed over 300 in about 218 different portions of the code be modified or repealed outright. And things as simple as, one of the changes we proposed was right now under the current rules, people who are on unemployment benefits have to, by law or by administrative code, which is the force of the law, have to go seek employment twice a week. We suggested that should be doubled up to four times a week. It was interesting, the reaction I've got from people is most people ask me, why isn't five times a week? If it was me, I'd be out every day looking for that. I don't know if that's too much to ask. And so I think those are the sorts of things we'll be looking at. And that's just one very vivid example. There are other things that are maybe not as universal or not as interesting. But clearly, we've already put forward more than 300 recommended changes or modifications. Certainly, that's not the be-all, end-all. And particularly in the state assembly, committees may go through and find other areas that need to be modified or corrected. But we think we've got a good solid base to begin with. And for us, it's not about repealing things that protect public safety or public health. It's about, in many cases, a lot of these rules have been around since before I was born. And sometimes they're just really not applicable to what happens in today's life. Sure. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, a good connection with, and like you said, mentioned that the regions, be it Synergy or others, are key to economic development. We want a seamless effort because in the end, for us to be successful, it's going to be small businesses growing, it's going to be corporations growing, it's going to be people with new ideas, whether they come right out of our colleges and universities or someone who's worked at a company for 10, 15 years and says, you know what, I've got an idea that my company doesn't do that I want to do on my own, and starts up a company with a big, bold idea. Whether it's bringing in businesses from Illinois or Minnesota or anywhere else around the world, all those are different ways that we can help the people in the state create jobs. And I think Reed's got a good handle on how to make that happen with his experience at Marshfield Clinic and his work in the private sector. And as we were actually talking with Representative Wright about this earlier, particularly having a background not just in business but in healthcare, which here and many other places around the state is a key element of the local economy, and a key asset, as I've talked about in our 5 points. When I talk about infrastructure, I don't just talk about transportation. Healthcare infrastructure is a key part of that in terms of not just the employees connected, but in terms of employers saying that the quality of life is important to them, and one of the best quality of life indicators is the quality of your healthcare. Sure, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'd like to congratulate you.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Thank you. And so I would, first of all, I'd like to acknowledge, I'm very happy that we have this partnership. I know that in the past, the WDC has had some problems. We're 42nd in the nation in job growth and have lost.
That's for joy.
Okay. And have $12 million that are unaccounted for publicly. But I think it is time to move beyond that. And I think it's time to look to the future. And so I really see a lot of potential here, and I'm very excited. I'm happy to hear you talk about transparency and openness. And I'm happy to hear you talking about the Wausau Papers jobs in particular. That is very important here. And so I really do hope we can work together and make sure that maintains a focus, that we maintain a focus there. But in addition, there is the possibility to receive federal funding for the expansion of Badger Care. And from what I understand, that could bring thousands of medical jobs to central Wisconsin. And we have the technical colleges, we have the UW system, we have a lot of opportunities to train that workforce and get people to work. So I'm wondering how you're standing on that, because you come from healthcare and the governor. And so I'd like to hear what you have to say about that.
Sure.
Thanks.
The our final decision on that will be revealed in the budget we come out with on February 20th. And we're looking at multiple different options in that regard. One of the biggest concerns, and I was on the phone yesterday with the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, Secretary Shebelius, and one of the real active concerns there in terms of the states, not only Wisconsin, but other states that are making decisions about Medicaid expansion, is whether or not the federal funds will actually be there. They're not fully appropriated in the Congress right now. Having been in Washington last week, there's some real concerns that those funds aren't in the budget. You already had the President in the White House talking about working with the Congress on meeting a budget crisis through the fiscal cliff at the end of the year. And ultimately, they were talking about taking money away from Medicaid and taking money away from Medicare even before expansion was fully implemented at the state level here or anywhere else. So, part of our equation is not just looking at what might be available, but the real reality that even the money we're looking at right now might not actually be fully funded going into the next Congress. So part of that's looking at the future is not just what's in the Affordable Care Act, but what's actually appropriated through the federal budget process. And that's a real concern for us in any decision we make, be it full expansion, being it stayed the same, or under the Supreme Court's action, which actually would give the states the pull back from that. Any of those options, we've got to equate as to where we are, not just today, but where we're going to be at the end of the next 2 years. So clearly, unlike other states where governors have rushed out to make a decision either for expansion or not, we have not rushed out to make that decision just because we wanted to make sure we had all the information available from the federal government and a true understanding of not just what's been promised, but ultimately what's in the budget and what's going to be appropriated.
With that in mind, Governor, is it safe to say if the feds don't have any budget, we're not going to try to put it in the budget?
Well, that's a very real concern. I mean, right now, any governor in America will tell you, Republican or Democrat alike, that the fastest growing piece of our state budgets are Medicaid. Even before the Affordable Care Act, that was an accurate statement in nearly every state in America. And so many of us had concerns that even after the first 3 years of the Affordable Care Act, by the law itself, it goes from 100% match to 90% match. That's assuming no changes out there, that there's a long-term concern that is their additional cost to the taxpayers of any given state, Wisconsin being one of those, But if they pull back on the reimbursement levels, suddenly now you open the door towards the state being in a heavy deficit spending level to match, or it'd have to cut in other areas to match up for that. Those are all part of the equation. We're not ruling anything in or ruling anything out yet, but those are all very serious concerns. Again, it's part of the reason why I and a handful of other governors in both parties joined a conference call with Secretary Sebelius and members of the White House staff, the head of the Council of Economic Advisors and the head of the Council of Domestic Advisors for the federal government, but trying to get a handle on not only what the President and the White House is pushing, but also similar calls with House and Senate leadership to find out where they're at. Because the challenge is we temporarily averted the fiscal cliff at the end of this past year, but they didn't solve it. They just deferred it for a few months. And so one of the ongoing concerns is where are they going to get the funds from? And one of the areas that's talked about most frequently in Washington, I was just there this weekend, was that because those funds have yet to be appropriated in terms of the Medicaid expansion, they wouldn't be about come about until January of next year when the exchanges start up. There's a real, very, very real possibility that that might be one of the areas they turn to for funding to make up their budget problems.
Do you have any concerns about Medicaid and its reimbursement funding as far as the ability for providers to keep providing at those rates which do not go up at the rate of cost of living expansion, inflation, and other things? Speaking from personal experience, I don't know how a lot of these providers can stay in the business, especially for their transportation service.
Well, there's no doubt about it, and that's one of the challenges. One of the frustrations, again, many governors in both parties have with Medicaid in general, it's exacerbated by something called dual eligibles, meaning the federal government's got people who are both eligible for Medicaid and Medicare, and oftentimes the federal government pushes people into Medicaid because the state has a match share in that regard, so more of the burden falls on state taxpayers here and in other states across the country. That makes it means there's less of a pool of state money to offset that, and last budget, I put $1.2 billion more into Medicaid. That was more money than any governor in Wisconsin history. It's more money per capita than just about any governor in the country. In converse, our neighbors to the south in Illinois actually cut a little bit over $1 billion in Medicaid out of their system. And so I've made a commitment because I believe the health care is important. I believe the jobs related to are important. But I also know that a lot of it's going to be dependent on what the federal government is willing, not just willing, is capable. Because it's one thing to say they're going to do it. It's another thing for them to actually appropriate the money. And that's one of our big concerns right now is that all the promises in the world don't pay the bills. They don't pay the bills to the state, and they certainly don't pay the bills to the providers if that funding's not there.
All right. Thanks, Ed. Let me take a quick
Can we take a quick group photo with